It's the Agribusiness Report from CattleCon 24 in Orlando. Special guest, Dr. Clint Crable with Texas Tech and Dr. Samantha Wirth with the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. First off, Brad Rippey, meteorologist, USDA.
We saw an increase in Illinois from 55% good to excellent a month ago, now 75%. Kansas seeing another bump, really for the second month in a row. Another big jump in good to excellent ratings. 2 months ago, 32% good to excellent. Last month, 43%. Current number, 54%. With Kansas being the number one production state, that is a real key to the overall health of the crop. Typically, Kansas accounts for roughly a quarter of the U.S. winter wheat. Also seeing 10 percentage point or better improvements in Michigan from 42 to 52% good to excellent. And also Nebraska, another key Great Plains state, going from 48 to 69% good to excellent.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Dr. Clint Crable, who is the Dean of the Davis College of Agriculture, Texas Tech University. By the way, I like the double T on the lapel there.
Thank you. We're very well branded and proud of it for sure.
Okay, so here we are, CattleCon 24, and I guess the first question is, why is it important for Texas Tech and the Davis College of Ag to be here?
We live in a state that have the most cattle and calves, and of course our region of West Texas has the most cattle on feed in the United States. Our research is important and relevant to the industry that we serve, and we think it's important to be here to connect with our alumni and our industry stakeholders that we're serving every day.
Okay, now obviously the college is here as a whole, but you also have faculty here as well. I know that's got to fit right into the same line.
Yes,
right?
Yes, sir. We have a strong contingent of faculty, of staff, and students. Of course, those faculty are front lines, boots on the ground, people that are interacting with our industry stakeholders. They're doing the research that's relevant to the industry, and they're also training the next generation of workforce that ultimately ends up in the industry and serving that industry. The future thought leaders of the cattle industry for West Texas and the United States. So really proud of them, and I think it's important to bring those students here, to give them this experience, to help them make those connections with those that they will be working for and working with in the future. And, of course, we have a great staff that makes it all happen behind the scenes, and we couldn't do it without them.
We talk about grading cattle. We've got the different levels there. You've got choice, got select, got prime in there. I hear that one of those three is part of a challenge, if you will, that you have for the university.
Yeah. So we've developed a strategic initiative that we're calling the Pursuit of Prime. I'm an animal scientist. I'm a ruminant nutritionist by training, so I spend a lot of time studying high-risk calves and feedlot cattle and how morbidity and other nutrient management impacts carcass merit, etc. Texas Tech also has the winningest meat science team in the United States, and we continue to strive to excel and grow our meats program, critically important to us. And Gordon Davis, who gave us a very large gift and therefore is the namesake of the college, was a meat scientist as well. And so it's just fitting for us to develop our strategic initiative around what we're calling the Pursuit of Prime. Of course, we're trying to grow all programs across all of our departments. So each department is going to have a different definition of what prime means. But certainly, if you think about the increase in the cattle grading choice and prime, about 10% of the cattle today are grading in the prime category. Of course, that's a moving target and it continues to increase. But our goal is to be one of those top 10% universities relative to agriculture and natural resources. And that's kind of how we evolved that name.
We've talked a lot about the university. We've talked about students as well. But what's important for the community to understand about Texas Tech and Davis College of Ag? I think a lot of times we think Tech and we think the athletic programs, and that's great. But
sure,
what impact does the Davis College bring back to that economy? And what do those who see from the outside need to know about Davis College?
Yeah. Well, what I've tried to do as a new dean, of course, West Texas is one of the major agricultural areas in the United States and in the world. And so you think about our top commodities of beef cattle, certainly cattle on feed again. The dairy industry continues to grow. We're the fourth largest dairy producing state, milk producing state in the country now. A lot of opportunities for dairy on beef. Cotton, largest cotton patch in the world, as they say. So really understanding our commodities, but those commodities drive security and healthfulness of rural communities, economic vitality for sure. So we're thinking about, from a research perspective and a workforce development, training the next generation of student perspective, what can we do to ensure that those communities continue to thrive for the next 100 years and beyond for the generations that follow this current generation?
I know a lot going on and opportunity for you to get out and network a little more here at CattleCon. Yeah. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the work there. And we wish you the best.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
Dr. Clint Crable, who is the Dean of the Davis College of Agriculture at Texas Tech University in Lubbock. From CattleCon 24 in Orlando, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James from CattleCon 24. We're in Orlando and ran into Samantha Wirth. Dr. Samantha Wirth is the Executive Director for the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, and it sounds like a mouthful, but really, it's pretty simple what we're trying to do, right?
Yes. Yeah. So at USRSB, we focus in on working across the beef value chain to help communicate continuous improvement of the cattle industry in the U.S.
So is it safe to start with defining what sustainability is? Because, again, it seems like the term is thrown around a lot, but how do we really pinpoint what that means?
Yeah, it is definitely thrown around a lot, and we get, if you ask anyone what sustainability to them, you're going to get a different answer. So that's the beauty of the roundtable, is that we have worked across the beef industry to define what sustainability means for U.S. beef. And what that means for us is that it is a economically viable, first and foremost, environmentally sound and socially responsible product that prioritizes people, the land, animals, and progress. So again, that idea of continuous improvement.
So I guess one of the questions is, it's really nice, maybe not the right word here, but good that we do things like this. But a producer might be sitting back going, okay, that's great. What's it mean to me?
Yeah. And so we've been working at the U.S. Roundtable about 2 years ago now. We launched industry-wide sustainability goals across air and greenhouse gas emissions, land resources, water resources, animal well-being, employee safety, and then efficiency and yield. We call those our high priority indicators of sustainability. So we have overarching goals across all six of those items. And then within that, we actually have targets for each sector. So for a producer in the cow-calf sector, one of our big focus areas is on grazing management planning, making sure that as a producer, you have a grazing management plan written down, that you're tracking it, you're actively monitoring progress and working towards operational goals that are really going to help you to optimize productivity of your ranch, of your operation, and of your animals.
Is it a safe question to ask about the members within the round table? Is it just the cattle industry? Who's plugged into this, and then why?
Sure. Yeah. So the U.S. Roundtable is a multi-stakeholder initiative. We have today over 140 members that span from a cow-calf producer, a feed yard producer, an association like National Cattlemen's Beef Association, all the way through retail food service groups. We also have members from civil society groups, academic institutions, and allied industry like animal health companies, genetic companies. So anyone who has an interest in beef production in the U.S. and an interest in sustainability can be and should be part of this initiative, because we're working across the industry to really make sure that we're working collaboratively and collectively to advance a common mission.
So we're at CattleCon 24, opportunity to talk with quite a few stakeholders on this as well. But what are you really focused on here in 2024?
Our big focus is back on those goals, on that grazing management planning piece. We have been doing a lot of work this past year. We developed a module for producers that's completely free, that walks you through what are the key components to a grazing management plan, what does it mean depending on the area of the country you're in, how to adopt that plan to meet your operational and location needs. That module also has a free template that you can print out or use online to kind of help you track what your plans are and what your progress is. That's been a huge focus, and that's an area where we're going to continue to focus in the coming year, both through the roundtable and in partnership with NCBA through hosting grazing management workshops.
So as we kind of conclude here, what's important for producers back home to know? Those who haven't been able to attend a CattleCon event or other statewide events, what is it that they need to know and need to have in their back of the mind when we talk about sustainability?
So for a producer that can't be here right now, the biggest thing I can say on sustainability is to use your voice and communicate what it is you're doing on your operation. There are a lot of people who believe in this industry and believe in the sustainability of it. And the more that we can get out there and share what we're doing, share our passion for the land, for the animals, for this product, for the community, the more that we get that full, you know, buy-in of sustainable beef, and the U.S. has a role to play there.
Samantha, it's always good to visit with you, and thanks for taking the time to come see us. If we want to keep up with you online, can we do that as well?
Yep. So usrsb.org is our website. We have a ton of free resources and ways to get in contact there.
Great to see you.
Thanks for your work.
Dr. Samantha Wirth is the Executive Director for the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, USRSB. I think I got that right. From CattleCon 24 in Orlando, I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Dr. Clint Crable with Texas Tech University, the Dean of the Davis College of Ag, and Dr. Samantha Wirth with the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
14 of 18 major winter wheat reporting states offer data on crop condition for USDA's end of January state stories report. Take-home points from the report, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, include Montana. Post-mid-January freeze and minimal snow cover.
Montana reports that there was moderate to severe freeze damage on 21% of the crop, 32% of the winter wheat crop reporting light freeze damage, but perhaps more importantly, nearly half of the crop, 47%, there is no observed freeze damage at this point.
Based on that,
Montana, despite the cold wave in mid-January, seeing an improvement in the overall crop health, at least based on observations, 21% of the crop reported very poor to poor a month ago. That is now 3%.
Other notable month-over-month changes in state winter wheat condition include
more than 10 percentage point improvements in the good to excellent categories in four of our reporting states.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.